Good evening, everyone. We've all been sitting for a while. Why don't we stand and I'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for each one that came here this evening. Thank you that we can all gather together and raise our voices and praise and worship to you, Father. I pray that you would just be with me as the few words that you have given me, I try to speak them, Father. Pray that you would take the few things that I have and multiply them. And pray that I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't, Lord. Just give me peace and give me strength as I share. Pray that the hearers could be blessed, Father. Also pray your blessing on each one that's here tonight, each individual family. You know each one personally, and I just pray that you would be with and bless each one, Lord. I just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, it's been a blessing to be here already tonight. It's blessed with the singing and just paying attention to the words of the songs. It seems like often we can just kind of sing, especially the familiar ones, but often if we pay close attention to what we're saying, there's a lot more in there than just we originally think of sometimes. So I was blessed tonight. For an opening scripture, I'm going to read Nahum 1, verses 3 through 7. And I have a lot of different scriptures tonight, so feel free to not turn to all them if you don't want to. Okay, Nahum 1, verses 3 through 7 says, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And then, after all that, it says, the Lord is good, and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I was thinking, I guess, as I was studying for this message on just the presence of God in our everyday lives. God is in all, he's created all, and he sees everything that we do. And I know that we all know that, but it seems like, especially personally, as I go throughout life, I can forget that God sees everything, and he doesn't just see everything that I do, but he also sees and hears the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's kind of what I'd like to talk about tonight, is the presence of God. And now I'm going to read Psalm 113, Psalm 114, and Psalm 29. We'll start with Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above all heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled, and Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, and the flint into a fountain of waters. It seems like there in those things, you know, we would think, well, it would be a lot easier to see God's presence in action, especially with the pillar of cloud that went with them by day and the pillar of fire by night. It would seem like something like that would really make us aware of his presence and all those miracles and things. But if we just look around us every day, I mean, everything we see points to God's presence. Just the very fact that we can breathe and move is a blessing from God, and it's because he originally breathed that breath of life into us and made us a living soul. Now let's turn to Psalm 29. This is these three chapters here that I'm reading are basically talking about the power of the presence of God. Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. So as I was saying earlier there, even in those things, just the moving water, the thunder, the lightning we see, especially in the spring, we're going to have thunderstorms, Lord willing. And it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. We think of the thunder there, I think, is what that's talking about. And, you know, it's talking about in other ways as well. But the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's a great promise there. That the Lord will bless his people with peace. And that doesn't mean all of our circumstances will be perfect, but it means that we can have peace in our circumstances, no matter what they be. I don't know what comes to each of our minds as we think of the presence of God or dwelling in the presence of God. To some of us, that might bring fear in our hearts. And I think that rightly in each of our hearts, it should give us an awe or somewhat, at least, of a fear of God, but not a fear of trembling and being afraid, but more of us that are born again, a fear of God. But to the unrighteous, it makes them quake in their soul. Even here in Isaiah 6, verse 5, when he was speaking with the Lord there, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I think that once we see the Lord in that way, it will just reveal our own undoneness. Basically, these scriptures that I'm going to read here are talking about those that regard iniquity in our heart and the effects that the presence of God has on them. It says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So it doesn't matter where we go or what we do, he is there. And there are some more verses that I'll read that will point to that. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 through 9 here says, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There it says that they will be punished with everlasting destruction, but part of that punishment is to be separated from the presence of the Lord. And I think also the biggest reward of going to heaven is going to be to be in the presence of the Lord. Jeremiah 5, verses 22 through 25 says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting, or no? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They have revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." Seems like as we look about in the world today, it seems like the people are just blatantly anti-God, and seems like they just almost blaspheme him with their lives. And it said that the people in their heart have turned away from those things. Like they don't even look at the banks of the sea and wonder how it gets held in, or know that the fear of God is just gone from them, and they don't even see the things in nature that point to God. But it's by his grace that we aren't consumed, the Bible says. In Acts 3:19, is speaking to these people. It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come." And pay attention to this. It says that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then Luke 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Somehow we in our simple little minds think that if we do things like that, that we'll never find out, that people will never find out. And somehow we, in an unconverted state, we can convince ourselves pretty good that what we do is going to be covered, but don't be deceived. If anybody's holding a secret in your heart, God sees it. He already knows right where you are in this room. If you're doing that, he knows everything about you. And I just beg of you that before Jesus comes back, let those things go before you to the judgment and not follow you after. It's not worth it. Now we're going to kind of change the thing here. We're going to talk about the promises of God's presence to the righteous. In contrast there to what we read, what will happen to the unrighteous with God's presence. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing." I won't say all these references. If anybody wants to know all of them, they can come talk to me afterward, but I have a whole list here I'm just going to read. "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then Psalm 23 here, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not sure which of us wouldn't, honestly, if we're honest with ourselves in our heart, choose that. That's a wonderful place to be in life, with God on our side. And just to remind us and to keep us humble, Acts 17, verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And just the list of the different things that his presence will be to us if we are righteous and following him with our whole heart. It's going to be a refuge, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He will rejoice over us with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will be with us wherever we go. He will make known the paths of life. Which of us wouldn't like to know the path of our life, especially us as young people, and even in my own life, I can wonder, you know, about the paths of our life, but if we follow him, he will make those known. We will have fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. He will uphold you with his hand. He will give salvation in time of need, and he promises that I am with you always. He will never leave or forsake us, and we will receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. These are blessed promises to each one of us. Then I ask myself the question, who's going to dwell in God's presence? I think each of us want to, but this is who the scripture says will. Scripture says the upright will dwell in his presence. In Psalm 140, verse 13, it says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in thy presence." And then in Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20, it says that those that fear and trust in God, it says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, and thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. And the pure in heart shall see God." That's Matthew 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And then I want to read Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved." And then Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." I guess that would be the prayer of my heart. I have a long way to go in those areas, but by God's help, that's where I desire to be. And then to close, I'm going to read Psalm 73. This is, I think it's David here. He's looking at the wicked and just wondering how they can be so successful, and just seems like everything they do works out for him. Then he looks at his own self and how he tries to be righteous, and seems like nothing works out for him. But the end here is what we want to see. At the end of this chapter, it's where God's presence redeems him and destroys the wicked. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They could have more than their heart could wish. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed mine hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And I think if we stay close there to the presence of God, we can understand these things. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That's another point there. I think if we keep our minds open to the activity of the presence of God in our lives, it will keep us humble. I've been reading through Job in my devotions, and he spoke a lot of things. He was basically questioning what God was doing, and then God went on to ask him. He said, did you put the stars in the belt of Orion, or have you placed Pleiades, or have you moved the mountains? Or he just asked him. And then at the end of God questioning Job, he just bowed down and said, woe is me. And I think that's where we should all be in our lives. Me first of all. So foolish was I and ignorant, for I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. May that be the cry of our heart, that God is all that we have on this earth that we desire. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, and thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So my encouragement that I took from this is to just have a clean and a pure heart and dwell close to God and be very aware of his presence in our everyday life. And I think that will humble us as we walk throughout our life. So pray that you are blessed. And if I shared anything that's contrary to Scripture, I ask that you would talk to me about it. So Lord bless you.